Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 6, The Downfall of Sabari Muni, which, what did Krishna Chaitra Maharaj read yesterday? He didn't, without the purport. He gave a class on, when King Ikshvaku, then informed by Vashishta, understood what his son Vikukshik had done, he was extremely angry. Thus he ordered Vikukshi to leave the country because Vikukshi had violated the regular principles. Yes. Wow, pretty good. Text 10. Well, I'm not going to... I'm not so good. Give a class on... These are all... Mostly they're all translations without any purports. So I'll just read the translations. Having been instructed by the great and learned Brahmana Vishishta, who discoursed about the absolute truth, Maharaj Ikshvaku became renounced. By following the principles for a yogi, he certainly achieved the supreme perfection after giving up his material body. After his father's disappearance, Vikukshi returned to the country and thus became the king, ruling the planet Earth and performing various sacrifices to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vikukshi later became celebrated as Shishada. So we can all be forgiven if we can't remember all these names. I don't know how many times I've read the Bhagavatam, and I haven't remembered any of these names, except for Indra. Somehow or another, that name stands out. So I'm going to just keep on reading, and hopefully not everyone falls asleep. The son of Shishada was Puranjaya, who is also known as Indravaha, sometimes known as Kakutsta. Please hear from me how he received different names for different activities. Formerly, there was a devastating war between the demigods and demons. The demigods, having been defeated, accepted Paranjaya as their assistant and then conquered the demons. Therefore, this hero is known as Paranjaya, he who conquered the residence of the demons. Paranjaya agreed to kill all the demons on the condition that Indra would be his carrier. Because of pride, Indra could not accept this proposal. But later, by the order of the Supreme Lord, Vishnu, Indra did accept it and became a great bull carrier for Paranjaya. Translation. Well protected by armor and desiring to fight, Paranjaya took up a transcendental bow and very sharp arrows. And being highly praised by the demigods, he got up on the back of the bull, Indra, and sat on its hump. Thus he is known as Kakutsta. Being empowered by Lord Vishnu, who is the super soul and the supreme person, Paranjaya sat on the great bull and is therefore known as Indravaha. Surrounded by the demigods, he attacked the residents of the demons in the west. There was a fierce battle between the demons and Paranjaya. Indeed, it was so fierce that when one hears about it, one's hairs stand on end. Anyone's hair standing on end? Anyhow, we didn't hear the whole battle. All the demons, bold enough to come before Paranjaya, were immediately sent to the residence of Yamaraj by his arrows. So we noticed they didn't have machine guns or tanks or airplanes. All they had was arrows. But they seemed to be very good at using arrows. To save themselves from the blazing arrows of Indravaha, which resembled the flames of devastation at the end of the millennium, the demons who remained on the rest, when the rest of their army was killed, fled very quickly to their respective homes. So they shot arrows, but they were empowered by mantra. So that's, they didn't have, apparently they didn't have big industries manufacturing weapons, where most of the kingdom's resources were spent on arms. They just had to make some arrows. Good arrows, though. And they empowered them by mantra. And the mantra was enough to create such arrows, such weapons, that they could create a mountain, or they could create a hurricane, or they could create something more powerful than an atomic bomb just by chanting mantras. So we should try to have faith in mantras. If we can just chant the Hare Krishna mantra, then we can go, at least we can go back to Godhead. We may not be able to kill anything, but at least we can kill our demoniac consciousness. But we have to be able to chant the mantra so it has an effect. After conquering the enemy, the saintly king Paranjana gave everything, including the enemy's riches and wives, to Indra, who carries a thunderbolt. For this he is celebrated as Paranjaya. Thus, Paranjaya is known by different names because of his different activities. The son of Paranjaya was known as Anena. Anena's son was Prithu, and Prithu's son was Vishvagandhi. Vishvagandhi's son was Chandra, and Chandra's son was Yudhanashva. The son of Yudhanashva was Shravasta, who constructed a township known as Shravavastipura. The son of Shravasta was Brihadashva, and his son was Kulyashva. In this way, the dynasty increased. To satisfy the sage Uttanka, the greatly powerful Kulvalayashva killed a demon named Dundu. He did this with the assistance of 21,000 sons. Obviously, it's not Kali Yuga. In Kali Yuga, it would be very hard to have 21,000 sons. Omaraj Parikshit, for this reason, Kuvalayashva is celebrated as Dum Dumara, the killer of Dundu. All but three of his sons, however, were burned to ashes by the fire emanating from Dundu's mouth. The remaining sons were Dridashva, Kapilashva, and Bhadrashva. From Dridavashva came his son named Haryashva, whose son is celebrated as Nikumba. The son of Nikumba was Balulashva. The son of Balulashva was Krivashva. The son of Krivashva was Sanajit, and the son of Sanajit was Yudhanashva. Yuvanashva had no sons, thus he retired from family life and went to the forest. Although Yuvanashva went into the forest with his 100 wives, all of them were very morose. The sages in the forest, however, being very kind to the king, began very carefully and attentively performing an Indra Yajna so that the king might have a son. Purport: one may enter the Vanaprastha order of life with his wife, but the Vanaprastha order means complete retirement from household life. Although King Yuvanashva retired from family life, he and his wives were always morose because they had no son. So that's the difference between Kali Yuga and whatever Yuga they were living in. Nowadays, if the lady gets pregnant in certain parts of the world, then they become morose and they want to kill the child. Here, they didn't have a son, they became morose. Although he had 100 wives, I mean, anyhow, what to do. I mean, it requires some faith or imagination or neutrality to understand that there was a demon named Dundu, and that from his mouth emanated fire and burnt ashes approximately 20,997 sons of the king. I mean, that's pretty hot fire. Being thirsty, this is another ninth canto is very good for unusual stories. Here in Kali Yuga, everything is pretty dull, and if someone was born with three legs or something, then they make a lot of money at the carnival or something, but that's about as interesting as things get in Kali Yuga. But here everything is interesting in this age, at least in the Srimad Bhagavatam, so many interesting stories. Being thirsty one night, the king entered the arena of sacrifice, and when he saw all the brahmanas lying down, personally drank the sanctified water meant to be drunk by his wife. Purport. Yagyas performed by brahmanas according to Vedic ritualistic ceremonies are so potent that the sanctifying of water by Vedic mantras can bring about the desired result. This instant, the brahmanas sanctify the water so that the king's wife might drink it in the yajna. But by providence, the king himself went there at night and being thirsty, drank the water. They might have told the king that this is, or put a label on the water at least. Do not drink. When the brahmanas got up from bed and saw the water pot empty, they inquired who had done this work of drinking the water meant for beginning a child. When the brahmanas came to understand that the king, inspired by the supreme controller, had drunk the water, they all exclaimed, "Alas, the power of providence is real power. No one can counteract the power of the supreme." In this way, they offered their respectful obeisances unto the Lord. I mean, they might have put a label on it. Might have made things a little bit more simple. Thereafter, in due course of time, a son with all good symptoms of a powerful king came forth from the lower right side of the king's abdomen. The baby cried so much for breast milk that all the brahmanas were very unhappy. "Who will take care of this baby?" they said. Then Indra, who is worshipped by that yajna, came and solaced the baby. "Do not cry." Then Indra put his index finger, this one, in the baby's mouth and said, "You may drink me." I said these are unusual stories. Indra became the mother, and Yudhishthira became Yudhishthira was the mother, and Indra helped out. He was also the mother. We should send this. Especially in America, this gay, lesbian, whatever. We should send the story to them. They think, "Oh, Bhagavatam. This is where it's at." We could sell a lot of sets to them. We have scriptural reference. Because Yuvanashva, the father of the baby, was blessed by the Brahmins, he did not fall victim to death. After this incident, he performed severe austerities and achieved perfection in that very spot. Now we have translation. Mandata, the son of Yuvanashva, was a cause of fear for Bravana and other thieves and rogues who caused anxiety. O King Parikshit, because they feared him, the son of Yuvanashva was known as Trisadashu. The name was given by King Indra. By the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the son of Yuvanashva was so powerful that when he became emperor, he ruled the entire world, consisting of seven islands without any second ruler. So who is Mandata's, who is his son? In the Srimad Bhagavatam, which we'll come to in the 10th canto. Muchukunda. Remember, do you know Muchukunda? He was the one who was sleeping in the cave. He got the benediction from the demigods. After fighting for the demigods for many thousands of years, he became tired. I mean, if I go on Harinam for a couple hours, I get tired. He got tired after fighting with the demigods for thousands of years. He got so tired, he was sleeping for hundreds of years. I mean, that's really tired. And then we have Kalyavana. Krishna came with his 32 million Yavana soldiers. That's like 16 times the size of Slovenia. In order to invade Dwarka. Not Dwarka, Mathura. And Krishna came out and fled. And Kalyavana followed him into the cave where Muchukunda was sleeping. And then Kalyavana kicked Muchukunda. And Muchukunda woke up. And he got the benediction that when he woke up, if anyone woke him up prematurely, he still had some hundreds of years left to sleep. Then he burned him to ashes. So sure enough, he woke up. Muchukunda looked around. He thought that this man who he saw woke him up. So he burned him to ashes. Fire came out of his eyes and burned him to ashes. Then he spoke to Krishna. He saw Krishna. Krishna was effulgent in the cave, so he could see him. And then after that, he got the benediction to become a devotee in his next lifetime. So see how fortunate we are. I don't remember meeting Krishna, but still, Muchukunda personally met Krishna. And then when he left the cave to go to the Himalayas to meditate in order to become a devotee in his next lifetime, then he saw all the trees were like little bushes in Kali Yuga, that he came from a different yuga. He was sleeping so long that the yuga he came from was different than the yuga we're in. And then, during the conversation between Muchukunda and Krishna, when Krishna asked, first of all, he asked Krishna, "Who are you?" Because he was told by Garga Muni that in this Kali Yuga, Krishna would appear. So he thought maybe he's Krishna. But then he decided he'd tell who he was. So he said, "Actually, I should tell you who I am. I'm a descendant of Mandata, who's actually a great personality. I'm insignificant compared to him. But anyhow, here we have this Mandata. So we're getting a little close to the dynasty of Krishna, except for the fact..." Yeah. "We have to go through Lord Parasarama, and we go through Lord Ramachandra." So Lord Ramachandra was in Treta Yuga. I wonder if here, descendants of Muchukunda, of Mandata. Anyhow, it's interesting. People lived a lot longer than they do now. "Supreme Personality of God is not different from the auspicious aspects of great sacrifices. such as the ingredients of the sacrifice, the chanting of the Vedic hymns, the regular principles, the performer, the priest, the result of the sacrifice, the arena of sacrifice, and the time of sacrifice, knowing the principles of self-realization. Mandata, worship that transcendently situated Supreme Soul, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Vishnu, who comprises all the demigods, he also gave immense charity to the Brahmins, thus he performed yajna to worship the Lord. All the places where the sun rises on the horizon, shining brilliantly, to where the sun sets, are known as the possession of the celebrated Mandata, the son of Yuvanashva. So how big a kingdom did Mandata have? From where the sun rises, where is the sun rise? From where is the sun rise? Well, that's good. At least we got our directions right. What part of the universe does the sun rise? Vibhari Shesha Aloka Vesha. This is a at least we'll have a little geography lesson here. Where is it? From where?
Right.
Yeah, that's right. But where is it? Where is the? From what part of the universe? What's the place known as? Where, according to our philosophy in the Srimad Bhagavatam, whether we believe it or not, where is the sun? Where does the sun travel every day? What's that? On what mountain does the sun ride around?
Loka
Loka. And where is Loka Loka surrounding? The mountain range known as Loka Loka Mountain. What is it surrounding? Slovenia? Yeah. When it gets hot enough, it seems like that. Actually, it's surrounding Bhumandala. And how big is Bhumandala? Well, we're learning something here, however interesting. Bhumandala is... Where are we situated according to the Bhagavatam? What part of Bhumandala are we situated on? What's the dweep name that we're on? Dweep means island, just like it said, he was the ruler of the seven islands. So what are those seven islands? Which island are we on? Jambudweep. Why is it called Jambudweep? Yes, there's a jambu tree. And on the jambu tree, there's a jambu fruit. And how big is the tree? I can't remember it. I think it's 1,000 yojanas. It's one of those small trees on jambu. And how 1,000 yojanas is approximately 12 in terms of it's approximately kilometers, it's approximately 100 and, let's see, it's around 12,000 kilometers. So it's around one-third around the earth. And it gives fruits called jambu fruits. And you wouldn't want to be under one of those fruits when it fell off the tree. Because it would be quite uncomfortable. In any case, we're on Jambudweep, and we're on what part of Jambudweep? What's that? Bardvarsha. And where is Bard? How many varshas are there around Jambudweep? I believe there's seven varshas. And we're on only one little part of Bhardvarsha. So how is this possible? I thought, don't we go around the, don't the airplanes go around the earth and see everything? Didn't the astronauts go into space and see the earth? How can we believe the Bhagavatam when the scientists have already shown us with their spaceships that the earth is round and we're on this planet Earth? Anyhow, probably didn't get into it very much because we're confused enough. So I won't get too much into it. But there's an interesting video on YouTube, you could probably see it, when they ask for some video of the astronauts in outer space. They sent the people who requested it one video. And in the video, the astronauts, they're discussing about how far they're away from the Earth. And then you see them putting into the window this cardboard or something to make the Earth look like it's round. And then they pan out and you can see the cardboard because they made a mistake. They sent the wrong people. So at least there's some indication that things may not be as they explain them to be. In any case, according to the Bhagavatam at least, we're on a little part of Bhardvarsha. And we're on the edge of Bhardvarsha near the salt ocean. So at least part of what we experience is the salt ocean. And Bhardvarsha goes around, and then in the middle there's this big mountain called Mount Meru, which is made out of gold. And on top of the mountain, which is 100,000 yojanas high, it's approximately 120,000 kilometers high, 120,000? Yeah, 100,000. No, 100,000. No, 1,200,000 kilometers high are the abodes of the demigods. I think it's the vacation home for Brahma, because he lives on a lotus flower, but he comes down to Meru sometimes for vacations. And Indra has his little abode there, and except some of the principal demigods have their abode there, and we're sitting underneath this mountain, which is far away from us. In any case, this is the geography. And then Jambudvipa is surrounded by a salt ocean. And the next island is called Plakshadweep. And then there is Sumantadweep, and there's so many different dweeps going around, the ocean of milk, the ocean of salt water, the ocean of yogurt, the ocean of liquor. And in the original Krishna book tapes that Prabhupada sent, when he's having transcribing, because in the first, in the 10th canto, there's a description of when Bhumi the cow went to ask Lord Brahma for help. They all went to the ocean of milk, and Prabhupada describes there that there are different oceans. There's an ocean of milk, there's an ocean of salt water, and then he said, because it's 1970 or so when he sent it out, He said there's also an ocean of LSD. So, I imagine some of the hippies that time went on pilgrimage to try to find it. In any case, we can expect for the next couple of days. Oh, there's a few purports here, actually. Yeah, there's. I'll just read the next ones until the purport. Mandata begat three sons in the womb of Bindu Mati, the daughter of Shashi Bindu. These three sons were Purukutsa, Ambrisha, and Muchukunda. All right, we're up to the Bhagavatam. The great mystic yogi. These three brothers had 50 sisters, who all accepted the great sage Subari as their husband. So Mujukunda was the brother of he's the brother-in-law of Subari. Anyhow, these things are not very interesting to us. But anyhow, we'll carry on later. Are there any questions? I didn't expect too many questions. Yes.
Like there's some parts of the earth.
Yeah.
There's some parts of the earth where the sun stays out longer during the day or at the nighttime is longer. So if the sun goes around Bhumandala, how is it that we're such an insignificant portion of nine islands that the sun stays longer in one part of that land? That's, you know, I don't know if I can explain it properly. The sun is going around all of Bhumandala, so that it should be equal sunlight within one rotation, right? But then there are certain parts of the earth, one of these where we are, maybe Alaska or the North Pole or.
Well, I think it's more or less the North Pole. It's night or day. I mean, I can't really explain it right now exactly how that works.
Right. That's the only question I got.
I'm sure there's some explanation. I mean, their idea is that the earth is circulating around the sun, so they can't come up with an answer for that either. So easily. They say something about the rotation of the earth and then it's facing it or whatever.
The tilt of it, yeah.
Anyhow, everyone can come. I don't know, to tell you the truth. A lot of things I don't know. That's one of them. Anything else? Thank you. Kuala Grantarai Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.